Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 111. My name is John. He liked to point the finger. His accusations linger. A deeper part of every action. He loved to play the game where he dispersed the blame for every deep dissatisfaction. One quick note before I begin the podcast, and it actually kind of fits in with this month's topic. Bill Buckner passed away a few days ago. Buckner had a solid Major League Baseball career. He played for five different teams over his 22 years in the big leagues, including several seasons with my Chicago Cubs. But it was during his time with the Boston Red Sox, and indeed, one single play in particular, for which he has been remembered. His error in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series led to the Mets winning the game and eventually the championship in 7 games. Now, we can debate for some time about this one play, because many things before and after the play contributed just as much, if not more, to the defeat. Yes, the error cost the Red Sox the game, but you can rightfully argue that they could have still won Game 7. You could argue that the Red Sox had already blown a 2-run lead in the 10th inning to the Mets even before Buckner's error. There's even a strong argument that it was the coach's error for having him in the game unnecessarily at that point. Myopic fans blamed him for the continuation of their supposed curse, and the notion was perpetuated in the media. He moved to Idaho after his playing career and reportedly still got occasional flack from so-called fans for that one play. I don't think a person should be defined by one error in their life, especially if it was an error committed playing a game. So, when I raise a glass to the memory of Bill Buckner, it will be for the over 2,700 hits and over 1,200 RBIs for his career, and most certainly not for one missed grounder. Rest in peace. I'm going to start the podcast with a little theoretical event. A politician does something bad. It doesn't matter which political party the politician is from, but for the sake of argument, let's say heads Republican, tails Democrat. Okay? Hey Siri, flip a coin.
It's tails this time.
Okay, so a Democrat does something bad. I'm going to say this is a male because, let's be honest, in this political climate, it's dangerous to accuse a female politician of ever doing, saying, or thinking anything wrong, even theoretically. Maybe he got caught on a mic saying something negative about transgender people. Maybe someone found a photo of him from 40 years ago, dressed in a racially insensitive manner. Maybe it's something criminal, like, I don't know, stealing secret documents and hiding them in his socks. Within hours of the news breaking, Republicans and their supporters will be all over the news and social media decrying the Democrat. They'll talk ad nauseum on every TV show, talk radio program, and social media outlet about how this is the worst thing anyone could ever do, and how this is indicative of all Democrats everywhere. Any right-wing friends you have in your social media will flood you with memes mocking the offender. This will be their latest submission of evidence that they were right all along about how bad the other side of the political aisle is. And this should be your wake-up call to come over to their side. At the same time, Democrats and their supporters will take a couple of different routes. Either they will be completely silent and not discuss or respond to the situation at all, or they will find any and every example of a Republican doing the same thing in the past in order to excuse and maybe even justify what happened. They'll use those examples of similar sins from the other side of the political aisle to try to convince us that it is the groundwork done by the Republicans who brought us to this point. Then, sometime later, a few days, a few months, maybe even a couple of years, a Republican will do the same bad thing or something very similar that the Democrat did. And the roles will amazingly reverse. Now the Democrats will talk on every TV and radio station and post on social media about how this is the worst thing ever, and indicative of all Republicans, while the Republicans will trout out every example of a Democrat wrongdoing to justify and excuse their side, and that it's the Democrats that brought us to this point. If you hear this and you chuckle in loathsome acceptance, you're probably a libertarian, or at least have those leanings. You are likely aware, truly aware, of what's happening to our nation. If you hear this and you think I'm only half right, then you're probably a sycophant to one of the two major American political parties, proclaiming yourself to be awake to the truth of our deteriorating country, but voluntarily blind to any sin committed by your political faction that causes the deterioration. Is that meant to imply that such people are part of the problem? No, not at all. I'm not implying it. I'm saying it outright. They are part of the problem. They're part of the problem in the sense that there is a problem that they take part in creating and exacerbating. But they're also part of the problem in the sense that they are only partially at fault for that. I'll expand on that later. There's an old Marmaduke comic strip. It's got to be at least 40 years old, because my grandparents had it hanging on a corkboard in their house, where they kept a collection of their favorite strips, and I remember seeing it when I was a child. It's a single-frame comic. There's no dialogue or caption. The mother of the comic strip is standing angrily next to a broken lamp, glaring at both her son and Marmaduke, the family's Great Dane. The son is pointing at the dog. Marmaduke is pointing at the sun. It's really cute, and the image sticks with you, or at least it stuck with me. And it's absolutely perfect to describe the two-party political system in America. American politics have degraded into an infantile game of he did it, not me. Look around at the proverbial broken lamps of the nation, and you will see Republicans pointing their fingers at the Democrats, and Democrats pointing their fingers at the Republicans. They do it so often, we've all lost track of who's really to blame. Meanwhile, when they think no one is looking, both Republicans and Democrats go around breaking things, hoping to either hide their crime or blame it on each other to gain protest votes. Every time an elected official breaks a law, every time they openly and brazenly go against their stated beliefs, every time, and listen to this carefully, every time they push for and enact legislation that takes away the rights of one group in order to appease the fear and hatred of another, they break another lamp. And the sad thing is, their shitty little game long ago spilled into the political discourse among average Americans. The right-wingers sit and listen to their right-wing media, which includes a heavy dose of right-wing propaganda. And the listeners believe they should point their fingers at the left, because they've been convinced the American political left is the source of all their problems. The left-wingers sit and listen to their left-wing media, which includes a heavy dose of left-wing propaganda. And the listeners believe they should point their fingers at the right, because they have been convinced the American political right is the source of all their problems. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Where it stops, how it stops, why it stops, nobody knows. But some of us can damn well see what will happen when it stops, when it all falls apart, can't we? There was another school shooting. Does it really matter where anymore? Just the fact that it does happen should be enough. Immediately, the left wing goes into j'accuse mode. Never let a crisis go to waste. So they'll use this incident to advance their agenda, just like kindred ideologies have done for over a century. Is it the shooter's fault for not respecting life? Of course not. Why focus on that? Besides, sometimes it's a left-winger committing the atrocity, so we can't let the mental health or political beliefs of a killer be the focus. No. It is the fault of the entire right wing and anyone else who supports any type of right to carry a gun. Listen to the propaganda or read through the rhetoric, and you'll see that if you so much as believe the Second Amendment has any validity, you may as well have pulled the trigger yourself. You're a Nazi who actually wanted those people to die. Oh, you think I'm joking. You think I'm spouting hyperbole, going overboard. Go check out the social media for yourself next time something like this happens. I just scrolled through my regular feed. I didn't even go looking for it. It won't take you long to see it either. Now, I chose to inject such an example into this podcast again to show that I need to work on this too. I mean, this is called the Raging Rhino Podcast, right? I know my origins. When I see and hear that kind of rhetoric directed at me and people like me, simply because we believe people have the right to choose how to defend themselves from any kind of perceived threat, I see that rhetoric, that hatred, as shameless, baseless, and disrespectful incivility. There's hyperbole, and then there's outright lies. When you get hit with that kind of effrontery, It hurts. It's hard not to respond in kind. In the past, that is exactly what I've done. I do believe that taking away the right of a person to protect themselves or the people they love makes them easy targets. It is no surprise that the evil people committing these crimes do so in places where they know no one will be able to properly defend themselves. So I don't understand why you would want to make it more difficult for good people to be protected and protective. Of course, in the past, I've said that far less productively. They want to make the accusation that any pro-firearm people are tacitly responsible for mass murder? Fine, I'll accuse the pro-gun-free zone people that they are tacitly responsible for making the victims sitting ducks. See? Not really productive, is it? I'm not saying I will never do it again, because sometimes the frustration gets the better of me. But I am saying I'm going to try harder to not let them push my buttons so easily. They're hurting because they see something that they believe could have been easily prevented. They think that it's the gun itself that's the problem. They think it is only that kind of weapon that can be used to harm innocent lives. But the myopic fear of something that you choose to personally avoid has not, is not, and will never be a valid reason to take away the natural rights of others. I don't expect them to understand my reasoning, but they all need to know I refuse to back down. See, if a sociopath wants people dead, they're going to find a way to do it. Another horrible attack took place. Children were attacked. One child and one adult dead at the time of this writing. I haven't heard much about it other than the morning news brief on talk radio. Hardly a peep about it on social media. No shock and outrage at the ease of which this attacker procured his weapon. No demand that retailers pull the weapon from their shelves. No demand for legislation to ban the more fearsome-looking styles of the weapon. But I suppose that's because a mass knife attack doesn't fit the narrative. Besides, you're only about one-fifth as likely to be attacked in America by a knife-wielding assailant than a gun-wielding criminal. But if I were the one being attacked, I'd rather not be at a disadvantage. I'd rather have the right to know I can protect myself as I see fit, rather than hope that I can beat the odds that the defenseless often have in the gun-free zones that so many of us are forced to use. Pointing fingers at the law-abiding citizens who would only use a gun to defend against assailants is not only a horribly poor tactic, they're perpetuating the fear and hatred you feel from the news reports. I could shout back right now. I've done it before. Go check out some of the past podcasts if you care. But I don't want to concentrate and reflect their fear and hatred anymore. I don't want to take it in me. I don't want to return it to them. Since we're talking about senseless attacks on innocents. Earlier this year, during Easter, there were a series of bombings in Sri Lanka. Nearly 300 dead, another 500 injured. Soon after the attacks, Hillary Clinton sent out a tweet offering prayers to the Sri Lankan victims. Now, stop for a moment and think about past situations of mass attacks. Think about what happened on social media in the aftermath when right-wing people would tweet out their sympathies, including offering thoughts and prayers for the victims. Look, I used to be religious in what seemed like a lifetime ago. That's why I call it my past life. I was one of those people who would turn to faith and spirituality to try to find some semblance of comfort in tragedy, peace amongst chaos. I no longer have such a religious belief in my life. If a friend loses a loved one, I will wish them comfort, but I no longer presume to think that prayers have any factor in the lives of individuals, much less the entire world. However, if someone else believes and uses an expression of faith in regards to tragedy, I don't get on them about it, because that's their belief. I may not share it, but I understand they are coming from a genuine place. But when right-wingers have offered public statements of prayer in the wake of tragedy, what is the response from the left? Your thoughts and prayers are worthless. Why don't you do something that's actually useful? You and your foolish beliefs should be silenced. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Many of the responses are peppered with fucks of the you and off variety. If you're a right-winger offering prayers in the wake of tragedy, the left will tear you a new asshole. So why didn't they respond the same way when Hillary offered her prayers for Sri Lanka? Look, you either graciously accept the well wishes of your opponents in times of tragedy, or you condemn your people the same way you condemn others for the same situation. Otherwise, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. That's what I've been talking about all along, isn't it? Accusing fingers of the left pointed to the right, and accusing fingers of the right pointed to the left. They don't realize where they should be pointing, do they? And then there's this horse shit going on in Alabama. You know how I've occasionally mentioned that there are certain topics I just don't want to talk about? Abortion is one of them. But it looks like that may come in the near future. Without going into too much detail, I've given it a lot of thoughts over the years, and my beliefs have fluctuated in ways that might surprise you. It's not an easy thought process for any individual. So why are the collectivists trying to force their beliefs on everyone else? As you probably know, there's the recent legislation in Alabama with strict abortion bans, which seems to be an attempt to challenge the Roe versus Wade ruling. The right wing is going full tilt on this one. Their minds are made up. It's a done deal. There is no question of their moral authority. They are correct. And if you disagree, then you're either too stupid or brainwashed. So they're going to make the decision for you. Someone put out a post on my personal Facebook page about how a woman could have sex with a different man every day for 100 consecutive days. But once she gets pregnant from one, she won't get pregnant from another. However, a man can have sex with a different woman every day for 100 consecutive days and potentially get every one of them pregnant. With this logic, they concluded men are the ones who should have their bodies regulated, and not women. And that's exactly why this country is going to fail. This attitude that if you attack me, I'm gonna attack you twice as hard. Eye for an eye? Fuck that! Now people want both eyes, maybe your left arm, and quite possibly both your testicles. We had socialists in the White House for 8 years, tearing apart the Constitution, taking away rights from groups they didn't like in the name of fairness. Then the other side won, but do they look to correct the mistakes? Hell no! Now we have imperialists in the White House, tearing apart the Constitution, taking away rights from groups they don't like in the name of safety. Remember that fear and anger I was talking about earlier? How it would come at me and I would send it back in kind? I told you, it's not productive. All it does is create more anger, more fear. It's building, and it might be too late. How did we get here? Who's to blame? Hell, ask any of the collectivist cliques out there. Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, fundamentalist Christian, gay rights activist, socialist, environmentalist, imperialist, corporatists, whichever group comes along with a beef about the others. Oh, each and every group will point and say, it's not us, it's those guys over there. They're the ones that are responsible. If you blindly follow one political side, that explanation is good enough for you. You probably think you're awake to the reality of this world. That's true. You are awake, so to speak. I mean, if you want to go with the analogy, you're awake in the sense that it's morning and you're in bed. You're awake in the sense that you're conscious and you can feel things. You're awake in the sense that you feel your head on the pillow, you feel the bed sheets against your skin, you feel the dream slip away into quasi-lucidity. But to be truly awake, there's one important thing you haven't done. Open your eyes. You want to sum up the entire American political landscape? I'll do it right here. You are evil incarnate for taking away my rights and forcing your morality on me. Now shut the fuck up while I take away your rights and force my morality on you. If you're one of those pointers out there, you're awake to your point of view and your point of view alone. You're awake to all the feelings that make you comfortable. You're awake to whatever media supports your beliefs. You're awake to any person or group that speaks and acts the way you do. You embrace anyone who sides with you. You castigate anyone who opposes you. You snub anyone who questions you. And you think you know the answer as to why this country is so hateful. And the answer is always, that other side of the aisle. But you don't want to open your eyes to see beyond what you feel in your comfortable little cocoon. Who's responsible for this country deteriorating? You are. I am. Your neighbor across the street. Your family who dropped by for a visit. Your buddy you're hanging out with this weekend. The lady in the car next to you on the freeway. The stranger sitting at the table next to you in the restaurant. Your coworker you bumped into in the elevator. Look around you. Anywhere and everywhere you go in this country, look around you. Look at every person you can, and then look in the mirror, and you'll see who's responsible. We all are. All of us. Every time one of us insults another for expressing a different opinion than our own. Every time one of us uses hateful words to degrade, diminish, and humiliate a person for daring to believe differently. Every time one of us shuns someone who thinks differently rather than trying to build communication. Every time one of us lets the hubris of our own beliefs dehumanize another person or group. Every time one of us seeks to take away the natural rights of others because of fear, anger, or just lust for revenge. Anytime we take the low road, we contribute to the degradation of our country. The cheap and lazy answer to why the Boston Red Sox lost the 1986 World Series is Bill Buckner. He played, at best, a small role. It was a team lack of effort that did them in. If you go around blaming one error for the collapse, then you miss all the other mistakes that were made along the way. Get the fuck off Bill Buckner's back. The cheap and lazy answer to why the United States is failing in the stated goals set by the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is, oh, it's the other guys. They're to blame. You leftists can point at the right, and you right-wingers can point at the left all you want, but doesn't make you correct. Look at the failures of your liberty-depleting legislation. Look at the sins you commit while you castigate others for doing the same thing you're doing. Look at the leaders you present to us. Socialism disguised as compassion, using misplaced culpability to guilt people to give up their rights. Imperialism disguised as safety, using propaganda to scare people into giving up their rights. No matter which of the two big political parties are involved, our natural rights keep slipping away. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, you're two sides of the same coin, desperately hoping your followers will never realize the truth. You're worthless. This is not a country that needs little tweaks to fix it or a simple tune-up. This is a country that needs a complete overhaul. It won't happen until we all open our eyes to see that we are being used by the Republicans and the Democrats, the liberals and the conservatives. It won't happen until we take our rights back and live our lives on our terms, not the terms of the latest bureaucracy to take office. And if something just clicked inside your mind right now, then maybe, just maybe, you get my point. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.